Welcome to the website of Community Bible Church. We hope it's helpful to you. We've included on our website sermons, both recent and in years past, that we think you will find a real help and encouragement as you listen to the teaching of God's Word. Let's pray together before we read this old hymn of Israel, shall we? Let's pray together. Lord, we come to this most familiar portion of the Bible, and I ask that you would speak to us as your people today. We're your people, and this is your word, and we ask you'll speak to us and help us today, Lord. Thank you for your love and goodness to us. Where would any of us be without you, Jesus? We're so grateful to you. May you be honored and blessed in these moments, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. And here's the conclusion. Surely goodness and love or mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Again, surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Man, this is an old psalm that you've heard so many times throughout your life. Maybe you even memorized it as a little kid. It's an incredible song. You know the story. David was a shepherd, and one night after he had laid down and the sheep were sleeping, he pulled his harp out of a sheepskin bag, and he made up a tune, and God gave him the words. He saw himself as a lamb. It is so key. By the way, the first sermon I ever heard Myron Gall preach 45 years ago was, quit worrying about it, you're only a sheep. That's what he said, okay? And it was great, I'll never forget it. Do you know fear creeps up on all of us all the time, especially when you're alone too much, and it's dark, you know, usually at night, when you can't sleep, and, you know, you stir in the middle of the night, and all of a sudden, our heads can be full of stuff we're afraid of, right? Afraid of our futures. Do I have one? Where am I going to go from here? What's going to happen about this? Am I going to be able to keep this job? Is she going to stay? Is my health going to hold out? I mean, there's just so many things. And then, not only just our normal things that we worry about, but we have this enemy that we don't see. He's no joke. Satan is real. And what he loves to do is whisper more fears into our ears. What about that condition? You got to live with it for the rest of your life. What kind of quality of life is that going to be? What a burden you must be to your family. What a disappointment you are to your friends. I mean, just think of this stuff. You think abusers are tough, the abusers that were maybe in your life. But this guy is the ultimate abuser and manipulator. How do we stand up against all of that? We have to see ourselves the way David saw himself. And he saw himself as this lamb that God was taking care of. We can just be overcome with fear. That's why it's so important for us to keep walking with the shepherd. That's why the Bible and its promises are so important. Why talking to him is so important about all of our fears. He wants us to talk to him about it. He's going to deal with things in our lives. He just wants us to talk to him about it. You know what I realized this week? My mom and dad built a house on Silver Lake Golf Course when we were little kids. I was in eighth grade. Aaron Bakke lived in that neighborhood. He was going into seventh grade. Lived there for a lot of years. I met Debbie when we lived in that old house. And then, I came to know Jesus. And from that, I marched off to college and seminary and my life. And I never realized how much my mom and dad missed me. They just longed for me to come by and talk and tell them what was happening in my life. You want that. Steph, when Tommy came home the other day and told you all about the trip, is there any greater joy? By the way, any of you on the Facebook, did you see the cake and all the candy she had piled up for him? I'm telling you, that's awesome. But, I mean, you just wanted him to tell you about his trip. I think of how much my mom and dad wanted that. And for several years, I was so busy with serving God that I just kept going all the time, and I didn't think like I needed to about them. Never realized it. They missed me. They told me later, and tried to make up for it in the years that followed. You know, if we're like that with our kids, do you know the Lord wants you to talk to him? You know, it's not like, okay, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven now. I've been forgiven, you know, thank you, Lord, and I'll see you when I get there, right? That kind of thing. That's not the way it works. Oh, by the way, salvation is forever. When you ask Jesus into your life, you're his child. But we miss out so much in not talking to him. It's so important. And then the gathering together as believers is so important in the midst of all of our fears and all that stuff. You know, we get together, people say, we come together as a group of Christians to hold up Jesus. And that's exactly right. We exalt Jesus. But you know, we also get together to hold up Jesus to one another. Don't forget him. Don't forget what he did for you. Don't forget his love for you. Don't forget his devotion to you. It's so important that we remember that he's the shepherd and we're just the sheep. To me, that's just so beautiful. C.S. Lewis, the great writer, wrote a book after his wife died. It was called A Grief Observed, and he wrote it under a pseudonym. So they didn't know that it was C.S. Lewis. And when he wrote about all the struggles he had in the loss of his wife or dying of cancer, people started sending him books. That's the name of that pseudonym to the publisher, sending him books by C.S. Lewis. Isn't that great? I just love that. I think that's neat. We got, you know, it's my buddy Steve Brown, and I'm sure it was one of the church fathers some 2,000 years ago, somebody that said, we have to keep preaching the gospel to one another after we believe. We have to keep preaching the gospel to one another so we don't get discouraged. Now, there is wonderful care. We've talked about it for all these years in this wonderful psalm. Look at it. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. Jesus said, my peace I give to you, right? I mean, he does that. He takes care of our needs. He takes care of us even in the presence of the enemies all around us. I mean, it's beautiful, the picture of this. It's incredible. You know, we buried Steve this week. He sat right back where you guys are sitting, Val, just behind you and Derek and all that there. He was here 2 weeks ago, and he's gone. And Steve took his own life. And this place was packed on Friday. He struggled so long. And I got up and I said to everybody, we know how Steve left, but don't you ever do this. Look at this family. Look at these brokenhearted friends. Look at all of us trying to wonder, what could we have done to help him? Don't do that to people. Don't do that. But then I said, Steve's with Jesus today. Because our salvation does not depend upon our performance, but upon his crucifixion on a cross where he died for us. That's not an excuse to take your own life. It's not God's will, and it's never right. But in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7, listen, it's such a wonderful statement. It says this. Galatians 1:7 says this. In him, that is in Jesus, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with our performance. Is that what it says? No. It says we have all of this in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. You are God's child if you've trusted in Christ, and that is never going to change. Now, we might screw it up. We do every day, don't we? But that does not change the fact of who you are. You are still a lamb in the pasture of the Heavenly Father. That shepherd is going to take care of you. We're his children. As many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the sons and daughters of God. So true and so wonderful. And he wants to, you know, the Lord wants to be kind to you and me. He wants to be kind to you. Remember the statement from Jeremiah, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. That's verse 11 of Jeremiah 29. It is so, so true. He loves you. He wants to hear from you. And he wants to bless your life.
Now look, all the name it and claim it guys that come and girls that come around and say all you got to do is say these words and you get all this good stuff from God. I'm not one of those, but we're not going to throw out the baby with the bathwater here. God wants to be good to us. He longs to be good to us. I was talking to my cousin yesterday. My aunt died, and we had her funeral yesterday. And I'm tired of these. But my aunt, she passed away, and so I was talking to her son-in-law, so he's my cousin-in-law, and he's not a Protestant, I'll put it that way. And he says to me, well, you know, Tommy, you know, I'm really into praying to Mary. I said, oh, okay. I said, why? He said, well, you know, because I just really think it's the way to go. I said, you got any, like, biblical mandate for that? You got any verse for me? Oh, no, no. He said, no. Of course not, he said. And then he said, this is the way I figure. I figure when you got in trouble when you were a kid, you go, where do you go? You go to your mother first, right? You talk to your mother. You let your mother soften up the old guy. That's how he put it. Let your mother soften up the old guy. And then, you know, then you can go to him. You know, she's kind of worked him a little before you get there. I said, really? That is your view of the God of heaven as some curmudgeon, some old dude that just wants to crack open a PBR and watch TV and not pay attention to his children and freaks out every time something goes wrong? That's your view of God? I said, dude, that's sad. And by the way, I said, Mary can't hear you. She's in heaven. She doesn't care. I mean, she cares, but, you know, she's enjoying glory. We're never told to pray to the saints. Are you kidding me? We're told to not communicate with dead people in the Bible, by the way. Okay, I'm getting off on it. I'm getting off. Never mind. All right. Yeah, so yeah, soften up the old guy. You got, if that's your view of God, we're in deep trouble when things go sideways. Because we don't think about him being the loving shepherd. We think about him being the angry old man that we disappoint all the time. Our fathers that we could never please. We put that on God. Don't do that. There is this conclusion to Psalm 23. And that's what I really want to look at for just a minute. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Since the Lord is like that, as described in the first part of this psalm, he says, surely. I mean, there's no other conclusion that we can come to. I mean, for sure, goodness and mercy are going to follow me all the days of my life. Point number one, you're being followed. Now, if you're paranoid, don't take that personally, okay? But you're being followed. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Are you a child of God? He is going to bless your life. And you say, but life's so hard. Yes, it is. We live in a broken world where we get sick, where we have problems, where people around us that we love make bad decisions and break our hearts. Yes, we can't stop that. God made significant people and we messed it up. I had a friend of mine yesterday that said to me, I can't believe in God anymore. The world's too terrible. I said, really? I said, you drive a car? He said, yeah. I said, well then, who designed that car? Well, these engineers at General Motors. I said, they don't exist. He said, what do you mean? I said, those cars get in accidents and people die. Terrible things happen in those cars and with those cars. Terrorists use them to mow people down on the street. There must not be an engineer that designed those cars. I said, God designed the world. We've steered it the wrong way. That's the reason it is the way it is. And I got to get back on my point or I'm never going to get back. You're being followed. We are being pursued. I mean, think of the time. Think of how God wants to bless his people. Jesus wept over Jerusalem. How many times, he said, how many times would I have gathered you under my wings like a hen gathers her little chicks under her wings, but you wouldn't do it? How often do we pull away from him? In fear or shame or whatever it is, we pull away. He longs to gather us to him. My buddy Steve Brown had a German Shepherd. He's always had a German Shepherd. They're big dogs. And his dog always thought our dogs was a squeaky toy, you know. So he had to watch him. Steve talked about his dog was his number one companion. He loves his wife and his kids and all that. But his dog went to the office with him, went everywhere. Bruno. What a great dog. He's gone, been gone a long time. But Steve had to take him to the vet because he had a problem, and the doctor had to do a procedure on Bruno. And Steve had to hold Bruno while the doctor did the procedure, and it was painful. And he cried and yelped and wailed when they did the procedure. And Bruno got in the back seat after they were done, put his laid with his nose to the door, and wouldn't look at Steve. Came home and stayed in the other room. And I remember Steve, big old tough dude, crying, saying, "Tommy, I lost my dog. I've lost my dog." And then one day he's reading the newspaper, and this brown nose came under the newspaper, and he came back. Listen, you might have been through some really difficult things in your life, but that's not the definition of what your life's going to be. You can run back to Jesus. Don't run away from him. When you fail, when you're struggling, when all of it's difficult, run to him because he's pursuing you. Turn around. You're being followed. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. Goodness is God's glorious kindness and generosity is what that definition is. And the idea of this love of God, it's also translated mercy. He sees the needs and has the resources to meet those needs. Surely, that's going to follow me. Pursue me is the literal in the Hebrew. Surely, goodness and love will pursue me. You can't get away from them. Stop running all the days of my life. You're being followed, second of all. Not only are you being followed, but you're being taken somewhere. There is a destination that you and I can only dream of, that we're being led to throughout our lives. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He's taking you home, man. That's an exciting thing. Paul talks about it. He talks about a departure. I desire to depart, he says, and to be with Christ, which is better by far. Jesus said, in my Father's house are many rooms, right? I'm going there to prepare a place for you. Not only are you being followed right now, at the same time, you're being led in a direction. One day you're going to be in heaven in his house with him. That's pretty great stuff. When we think about our lives, we think about how frail we are and how few years we really live. It was the psalmist that said, "Lord, teach me the number of my days that I might gain a heart of wisdom." I need to get smarter as I get older. And I need to realize how brief all this is. We might die early. And if we do, Isaiah said, the righteous are taken away and no one understands that it is to protect them from the day of evil. Okay? If someone dies early, we don't know why. We don't have all the answers yet. But we do know one thing. God knows the future and he knows why he takes us out before that future happens sometimes. If we're going to live long and we're afraid that we live too long, my friend Ruby, she was 98. "Oh, honey, you can live too long," she used to tell me. She never lived too long. Blessing to all of us at New Aunt Ruby. Sweet lady. Well, it was Stephen that said, when David had lived out and served his generation, he was gathered to his fathers, died. You're going to live out the exact number of days you're supposed to in this world. You don't have to worry about it. And when those days are lived out, not only have you been being pursued by God your whole life to bless you and to love you and to show you mercy, then he's going to take you by the hand and take you the rest of the way home. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Stand in that. In the midst of your darkness right now. And when you're going through the darkness, you're going through the difficult times, that's when we are told to stand in what we believe. They say, stand in your faith, stand in it. It looks like bad news, but God has not lost control of this. He is still in control of all of it. I don't understand it. It's a mess right now, but I'm going to stand here and know that he's going to pursue me even in the midst of this darkness. And this is not the end. We stand in it. My uncle Don, he's 98. My mother's brother, he told me the most interesting story that happened to him, guys. When you stop trying to make everything happen yourself in a wrong way and start trusting God for what you need, it's so interesting. So this is 1928. 1928, he told me they lived in Pontiac, and he stole $1 from his brother because he wanted candy. So he stole it. He bought 20 cents of candy. Back then, that was a lot of candy. He ate it all. He got sick. My grandpa realized that his son spent a lot of money on candy. Where'd you get the money? They did a little audit, because he was a bookkeeper. They did a little audit, found the dollar missing, found the change. He got punished. But he said he went out in the backyard on Washington Street there, where they used to live, and behind, well, it's under where the old Pontiac Central is now, but that's where their house was. He went out in the back, and he said, "Lord," 8 years old, "I'm never going to steal again, but I love candy." That's what he told me. Anyhow, he said, "But Lord, I'm not going to ever steal again, but I love candy." So he says, 20 cents was too much because I got sick, but could I have 10 cents? So he's walking to school across the street to Crowfoot the next day. And there was a dime in the road. And he said, "I have trusted God from that moment on to this day." And you want to see how it grows? He had a tire business. I probably told you this before. He had a truck tire business. And we moved to Lansing in the old days. He said to the Lord, "Lord, I'd really like to do more than just change tires on trucks. I noticed these problems. These retreads don't hold on to truck tires. When they retread them, they come off too easily. Is there a better way to stick it together?" And in his devotions the next morning, he got pictures in his mind about how to make retreads stick better. And he tried it out, and it worked, and he patented it. And then the railroad came to him and said, "Hey, we got problems." Before trucks rode on rails, with those new mechanisms, they had to drive between them. They kept wearing out the inner walls of the tires. Somebody from Grand Trunk came to my uncle. "Can you design a tire that doesn't wear out?" And my grandpa came up with an early form of Kevlar. Kevlar. Thank you. To line the inside of those tires. And he patented that. Then the Army came to him and said, "Hey, we notice your tires aren't wearing out on the inside. Can you give us a tire that can't be shot with a gun and punctured?" He came up with a tire that you could shoot with a .45 and it would not flatten the tire. He learned to trust God with everything when he was 8 years old and found a dime. Today, he's this man with these stories of the dreams that came to him that changed the trucking world. You know what I mean? Interesting, isn't it? If we would just trust him, those simple character builder things propel us into our lives. You know, there's something about knowing that we're being pursued by the Lord, knowing that we are going to dwell in his house forever, that frees us from the ultimate fears of life. And I told you the last time that I saw Bill Brown, the last time I saw him was in the hospital. He was dying. His organs were shutting down. He was clear as a bell. He was in complete comfort. Not any pain, but the doctor said, "You got maybe a day or so." So my dad and I went to see him. We talked for a couple of hours. Bill sat up, told us the stories of his life. We laughed. He told us a couple of jokes. It was a blast. When it was all over, he had such peace of God about where he was going that Dad and I, we prayed with him. We're leaving the room. We kissed him. We're leaving the room. I turned back from the door, and he lifted his hand, and he said, "Gentlemen, it's been an honor." And he was gone that night. You catch that? Do you see what simple faith does? Stand in it. Surely goodness and mercy are going to follow you all the days of your life, whether you enjoy it or not. And whether you enjoy the ride or not, it's up to you. You're going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Thank the Lord. Let's stand together to pray, shall we? Start pouring that out to him, okay? Don't hang on to this stuff. He loves you, and he loves it when you tell him about all the stuff. Unload it on him. Give it to him. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, you are the King of glory, and yet you'd rather die than live without us. We are so honored to be yours. But Lord, how we pull back in our shame, how we pull back in our trouble, thinking somehow this is happening to me, so God must be angry. Lord, thank you that you are not angry with your people anymore because your son Jesus died for our sins and we have been made right by the blood of Christ. So that's not it. You're not angry. We can stand and expect your love and devotion to us even in the midst of trouble. Lord, work with us on this. Thank you for your patience with us and reach to us and help us this week. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, thank you for visiting the website of Community Bible Church. We hope you found it helpful. Also, if you're ever in or around Waterford, Michigan, we would love to have you come and visit us for a Sunday morning service. We'd love to have you come. Let us know you found us on the web. So God bless you, my friends.